Welcome to the Silver Screen Podcast. I'm Jared Boomer.
And I'm Katie Gainey West. This is a podcast about movies and pop culture.
And today we are recapping the 96th annual Academy Awards.
Wow, we've been here for all 96.
We sure have. We were there for the first one back in the day when the ceremony was only 5 minutes because they only gave out three awards or whatever. So
that's great.
We've also both seen all Best Picture winners. That's not true.
I did see all the options this year.
I did too. I saw all the nominated films for Best Picture. So
Jared and I both watched The Zone of Interest last, and we both watched it the morning of the Oscars.
Yeah, I did a double
right
feature.
Before the show. Yeah.
I did a double feature with Dune Part 2 and then Zone of Interest.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I saw Dune Part 2 the day before.
Yeah, I probably should have flip-flopped that. Zone of Interest, yeah. Pretty heavy movie.
Although I felt better about Zone of Interest than you did.
Yeah. Yeah, I enjoyed it, but I didn't love it as much as some of the other nominees.
Yeah, but when you describe what that film's about to people, they're like, that's a bummer.
Yeah, it's a real bummer.
It is, yeah.
So, the Academy Awards. Lots of big moments, of course. Now, you may have wondered, the show started an hour earlier this year at 7 instead of 8, which was really nice.
Fantastic choice. Do it every time for the rest of...
We can even do 3 o'clock in the afternoon if we really want to. You know,
go
red carpet at 10 a.m., 3 o'clock ceremony. But you may have noticed that it actually didn't start till like 7:06 or 7:07. Mm-hmm. It was the red carpet show ended, and then there was this very long commercial break before the Oscars started. And you found out that it started late because of pro-Palestinian protesters that were outside the entrance of the Oscars. And that's the reason why it was delayed a few minutes.
Yes. Now, I'm sure, I am positive there were people that were just running late like celebrities do when they're trying to get ready. I'm sure traffic was bad. I'm sure it's a complete nightmare. But apparently there were pro-Palestinian protesters like in front of the entrance. So it was hard for people to even get through to get into the show. And they're also keeping people out from getting into the building. So that was apparently why there was a delay.
And I would assume they probably definitely wanted all the nominees for Best Supporting Actress to be in there because that was the first category of the night. So I could see a situation where if somebody that was nominated for that wasn't in the room yet, they wanted to make sure that they were in there, obviously, before that award was given out.
Right.
So some other notable moments from the Academy Awards. John Cena coming out to present costume design and being naked, although he was not really naked. He had that like skin underwear on or whatever, but he looked naked. Right. And that was a very funny moment between him and Jimmy Kimmel. I thought that was a great bit. So
that was funny. And a lot of people liked it. I didn't really hear anything negative about it. I don't think it was in poor taste. And I thought they set it up really well too, because they were talking about when David Niven back in the 70s or something was presenting an award and a streaker, I don't remember the guy's name, but a guy streaked, like was naked.
They showed a clip of it, like him running. Yeah.
Yeah. And I thought they did it. I just thought that was a good setup. And John Cena is so likable anyway. And I thought that was a funny bit too. And he's also good looking. I mean, I wasn't upset seeing the man mostly, you know.
And props to him for just like agreeing to do that anyway.
That was
really
funny.
He
doesn't seem to have a lot of shame.
No. Another highlight of the night, of course, was Ryan Gosling performing I'm Just Ken from Barbie.
Yeah.
This was probably the moment of the evening for me in terms of performances.
Yes!
I thought this man did not want to do this. He did not want to perform this song at the Oscars.
Are you kidding?
I mean, he gave it his all, but I'm thinking like when they pitched him the idea, he was maybe a little, you know, wishy-washy on it. But he really committed.
I respectfully disagree. I feel like Ryan Gosling leaned so hard into this and was like, my Mickey Mouse Club training was for this moment.
Yes.
He was so good. And he, like, watching him trying not to laugh during it was so enjoyable. And he is freaking talented. To me, that's one of the most attractive qualities in a human being, male or female, too, is when they're like so talented, but also have the best comedic timing and don't take themselves too seriously. I thought he did a stellar job. I love Ryan Gosling. And I don't think it was a highlight. I think it was the highlight of the night.
Yeah, it was a great performance. Love how he started right behind Margot, and Margot was just cracking up as he was starting the song.
Well, and then he said hi to Emma, which was so cute because he was with Emma.
He had
Stone,
Emma sing that one,
La
line.
Land.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was really cute.
He went down there and had Greta sing. So that was fun. So yeah, really good performance. You could tell he was definitely in his element. And he got the biggest applause of the night too. Like crowd was on their feet after that performance. So now, what can't Ryan Gosling do? I think just about anything at this point. Yeah.
Truly.
So at the end of the show, And there's been some reports on this too, is Donald Trump on Truth Social, which I think is the or whatever platform he uses, I think that's what it's called, posted a message about the Oscars, and Jimmy Kimmel, before the show was over, saw it and referenced it on the air. And there was an article that came out that said the producers of the show told him not to do that while he was going out there. And he's like, no, I'm going to do it. I don't think that was in the best taste for Jimmy Kimmel. It had been a pretty non-political show up to that point, right. Even with jokes and stuff. There wasn't a lot of political jokes. It was more movie jokes.
Right.
And I think you just alienate certain people when you do that. And you also, like, the Oscars are kind of like escapism, because movies are escapism. So when you, like, bring the political stuff in, it just really puts a more real world aspect back on it that I think some people are just looking to enjoy the night and not have to worry about politics for 3 hours while they watch the Oscars or whatever.
Yeah. And there's some, I don't really disagree with anything he was saying. I laughed at some of the stuff he said, but I feel like if you've made it that long and had a really successful telecast without political commentary, then just keep it there. And our friend Will said the same thing to us, Jared, via text. He was just saying, like, so much of what keeps people away from these shows is the political commentary. They're very turned off by it. And this was some of the best. I don't think it was the most entertaining Oscars I've seen in recent years, but it was really nice that it wasn't riddled with these kinds of jokes. It wasn't in poor taste. No one got physically assaulted. And then at the very end, that comment, even though I will admit I laughed, I was also like, we didn't really need that.
Yeah, there could have been. I think he just needed to fill a few minutes at the end, and there could have been numerous other things that he could have talked about to kind of fill that time or whatever. Another notable moment is Al Pacino announcing Best Picture. Why do we have people going out here to announce Best Picture that have no idea what they're doing? Why? Same thing happened with Warren Beatty.
Do they not have a rehearsal? They have a rehearsal. And so some people were upset that he didn't say all the Best Picture nominees, like all the names, but I was told he was specifically told not to do that.
I saw a thing that was an article that said the producers told him not to do that. So right. I understand that part of it.
But he just sounded like, for someone who just fathered another child in his 80s, like, he sounded like an old man who needs some help, because he just opened this envelope and was like, my eyes see Oppenheimer. And we're all like, what? What?
And then there's a pause. And then the music from Oppenheimer starts playing.
And even the cast of Oppenheimer was like, is this it? Is this a joke? Is this a bit? Where are we? It was so weird.
And he's like,
weird.
yes. And then starts reading the producers. And I was like, okay. But like, just strange. Say like, and he was even like, okay. And there's only going to be one winner. And now I'm going to look in the envelope and my eyes see Oppenheimer. It's like, dude, this is the biggest award of the night.
You have to say
and the Academy Award for Best Picture goes to, dramatic pause, or, and the Best Picture winner for this year is, or something. Yeah. Not my eyes see Oppenheimer, which is kind of fitting given the content of Oppenheimer that, you know, his eyes saw Oppenheimer.
If you're 12 years old and a young starlet, I can understand you being extremely nervous if you're presenting at the Oscars. If you're Al Pacino, who is a seasoned professional and Oscar winner, I would expect more from you presenting the biggest award of the entire night. It was bizarre and such a letdown, but honestly, the whole show was just kind of, it was kind of mediocre at best.
Yeah, I thought it was decent. I thought it was better than some years past. There wasn't any big controversial moments. It was way better than, what was it, the 2021 or 2022 Oscars? Still one of the COVID Oscars, where it was like in a totally different place.
And
yeah, those weren't that exciting.
That was weird.
But
then we had
obviously,
the slap.
Yeah, and Kimmel back as host for the second year in a row.
I will say, I do think Kimmel overall does an excellent job. I love him as a host, especially for the Oscars. But yeah, I didn't like the political joke. But Al Pacino, he made it weird.
Kimmel is very good at remembering things that happened earlier in the evening, or making jokes about those later on, or having some like funny running thing that can happen throughout the course of the evening that just happened. So he's really good at like referencing that stuff later on in the show. Like Divine Joy Randolph got up there and she forgot to thank her. She was like, my publicist worked so hard for me. And he's like, you didn't even say her name. So if you want to like say it now, you can. So
do you know,
stuff like that. That's just funny.
I won't dwell on this, but I did read today something that didn't look good. Devine Joy Randolph, apparently when 20 Days in Mariupol won and everyone stood for Ukraine, she didn't stand.
Oh, okay.
And it was on camera. And I don't think she's like not supportive of Ukraine. I think she just didn't get up. But it wasn't good because everybody else in the room was standing. And so I read that that was like a big thing and some people are pretty upset about it.
Also, one other thing I wanted to mention was, why was like the default cutaway person Emily Blunt and John Krasinski? Like, Emily Blunt nominated for the first award of the night. She lost. We all knew that was going to happen. But then they like kept cutting to her. And I know that's like a big power couple, but I'm like, you have Emma Stone, who's still here, that her award hasn't been announced. You have Cillian Murphy. You have RDJ over here. Like, it was just a constant cut to like Emily Blunt to see what her reaction was going to be.
Yeah, it's, and like, I have more to say about her outfit later, but I didn't want to keep saying it. I'll say that.
On to the big winners of the evening. Oppenheimer won 7 of the 13 awards it was nominated for, including Best Picture. A tour de force, Christopher Nolan now has a Best Director Oscar.
Best He's Actor. Best
Picture winner. Yes, Best Actor, Best Supporting Actor. Yes.
Yep.
So Oppenheimer cleaned up, won some technical categories as well. Poor Things actually won 4 out of the 11 awards it was nominated for. That's more than I thought it was probably going to get going into the night. But it picked up some costume design, makeup and hairstyling, production design, things of that nature. And then, of course, Emma Stone winning for Best Actress. Do you want to talk about that now or later?
Yeah, I guess so. Okay. Listen, here's my thing. I read a lot about this and who people thought were going to win. I was pulling for Lily Gladstone for a multitude of reasons. The main one being, I think Emma's wonderful. I didn't like Poor Things. I'll just say that right now. You can hate on me if you want. It's just not my cup of tea. But I actually think I have some very solid reasoning for why I didn't care for Poor Things. But we're not doing a review of that. So if you want to talk to me offline, let me know. But Emma was wonderful in that. But Emma, for someone who's maybe not mainstream, she has material coming out the wazoo. Like, she's going to be in so many films. I wouldn't be surprised if she won 4 Best Actress Oscars by the time we all are long gone. Like, I think that she's just going to keep knocking it out of the park. I think Lily Gladstone, not that you should ever give somebody a consolation prize, but I thought Lily excelled in her role. And I also think Lily is not going, because of being a person of color, I do not think she is going to continue to get as many roles or offers, especially something that fits her cultural background. I don't think that's going to come her way a lot. So the fact, and she would have made history. It would have been a huge deal for her to win. So I was really pulling for her. And I guess the odds were kind of like 50-50, not quite, but like, people really thought she could win. So when Emma won, I just wasn't really happy about it. I thought she gave a nice speech. She's weird. She's quirky. But I was just not rooting for her.
And I think those two performances are so different, too. Like, Emma's is so showy and bombastic. And it's really out there in terms of, like, what she's doing in that movie. And Lily's is much more understated and emotional.
Yes.
And so I thought that it was kind of interesting that she didn't win for that, because normally that's the type of things that like the Academy likes is like performances
and
like that. So
she was going toe to toe against every powerhouse male actor in the business right now and was holding her own in every scene for scene in that film. And I feel like Emma, she did a really good job, but she's an odd person who I really like Emma, but she's an odd person in real life playing an odd person in a movie. I was just like, okay. I mean,
great.
And not that it's any excuse, but she just had a baby. She has a 3-year-old at home. But like, when she was filming this movie, she would have had like an infant at home. So like, she was probably basing a lot of her character on the toddler she had at her house. Like, I just think how much of that is, I don't know, original or unique. It just didn't impress me in the same way. So I'm sorry. I hope nobody hates me, but that's just my opinion.
Some other quick things. Zone of Interest became the first British film to ever win Best International Feature. So, of course, that movie about a family that lives next to a concentration camp during Hitler's reign. So very tough watch, but very interesting idea for a movie for sure. Ukraine won its first ever Oscar with the best documentary feature, 20 Days in Mariupol, which we just mentioned a
minute
ago.
That was a great moment. I was thrilled for them.
That was very cool. Billie Eilish and Phineas became the two youngest people in history to win two Oscars. Billie Eilish is 22. Phineas is 26.
Incredible.
They won for No Time to Die. They won for What Was I Made For? For Barbie this year. So congrats
to
the both of them.
My favorite fact.
Favorite fact, Cillian Murphy, the first Irish-born actor to win Best Actor in the Academy's 96-year history.
So cool. And you know what? That's something I would have never thought of. And that's why everybody was talking about him saying, I'm a proud Irish man, standing when he was standing up there and accepting the award. And that's why it was such a big deal, because he was the first Irish actor to win. But I was I love Cillian so much.
It looked like for a long time that Giamatti was going to win that award. And then Cillian kind of the last month or two really like won some other things. And then, you know, he was the favorite going into the Oscars. And
yeah, that was one where Jared and I loved the holdovers. We raved about it in our favorite videos of favorite movies of the year episode. But I thought that this is kind of the opposite of what I just said for Lily Gladstone and Emma Stone, but I felt like there was a lot more acting and physicality required of Cillian. And so Cillian to me was the clear deserving winner, but I think Paul Giamatti's so lovable and such a talented actor. But I really was pulling for Cillian.
Cillian,
so I was
glad
he won.
He has way more to do in Oppenheimer than Giamatti's doing in The Holdovers. Right. Two different types of performances, but Cillian's like having to, you know, weigh the weight of the atomic bomb and like, I created this, but I'm going to kill a lot of people, and kind of doing that like just with facial expressions. So there's way more serious role in that movie. Some snubs real quick. Greta Gerwig lost to Cord Jefferson for adapted screenplay. Now, I did think Cord Jefferson gave a really good speech. I liked what he said about like, hey, maybe we should take some risks and, you know, maybe not make $200 million movies all the time. Maybe we should make like $10 million movies or $50 million movies and get some more of these stories told. So like that, I agree with you 100%, dude. And he's still fairly young too. I think he's only 40.
He talked about like making stories about people of color and also not doing stereotypes. Like his whole movie, mm-hmm. which I know you didn't care for American Fiction. I loved it.
I thought it was okay.
Well, he just made a movie that was not about stereotypical black people and trauma and all these other things. It was beautiful stories about this accomplished black family and a black writer and educated people. And it was beautiful. Loved it.
But obviously Greta Gerwig did not win. Now, they put Barbie in adapted screenplay because it's based on a toy. Which is really a stretch there to put it in adapted. If it had been an original, it probably would have won because Anatomy of a Fall won that. And I think that the Barbie screenplay is better than Anatomy of a Fall. In fact, I was kind of surprised that like The Holdovers didn't win that either. I mean, Anatomy of a Fall is good, but I just thought the screenplay was maybe not one of its stronger aspects. So,
agreed.
And then In Memoriam was a little weird. It seems like they sometimes just cannot get this right for whatever reason. I don't know why.
I wasn't upset. I forget who all they left out. I know they left out Treat Williams, and some people were upset about that. Lance Reddick was not in it from John Wick.
And they did it at such – they did it like right after I'm Just Kin, too. It was a weird spot to put it, like to have I'm Just Kin happen and then In Memoriam.
But they always do it like they come back from a commercial, they do it and they go to commercial. And I think that's a good move. So I didn't actually think about it being after I'm Just Kin. That didn't bother me. But I feel like the formatting is always strange. I do think it's something that it's hard. You're never going to please everybody. They're always going to leave somebody out that has died. They're either going to forget, or they died too recently, or they weren't part of the Academy. Who knows? I don't know what the stipulations are. I just more thought the formatting was strange as far as it wasn't consistent where people were popping up on the stage. And then it also wasn't consistent about the sizing of the screen. And then also the sizing of the font. We had it on our big, large TV in our living room. And I had trouble reading some of the names. And I have great vision. And the screen is big. And I was like squinting to try to see some of the names on the screen.
That was tough.
And so that's not, I just think they need to do better. In fact, that would probably be my main note is like figure out the In Memoriam situation because it's bad every year.
And then other snub, which we already kind of talked about, was Lily Gladstone for Best Actress. Of course, Emma winning that one. So we'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll have Katie's best and worst dress list. And we'll wrap up our discussion of the Academy Awards. And we're back here on the Silver Screen Podcast talking about the 96 Academy Awards. It's the moment you've all been waiting for. We save it till the end every single year because we know you are dying to hear Katie's best and worst dress list. And here we go.
Thank you, Jared. Of course, everyone, I just want to remind you, I am just a simple fashionista trying to make it in this world. I love fashion, but I don't know anything from anything. So you can take it or leave it. I will, of course, once this episode airs, post my favorites and least favorites on my Instagram. Love it so much. Okay, for me, probably easiest Oscars in a long time, best favorites and least favorites. I'm going to go with worst dressed first. You ready?
Okay, yeah, hit it.
Okay, Florence Pugh. Hated it. She's wearing Delphore.
Yeah, I didn't love it.
Hate it. Florence is like, I feel like she's been on a press tour of like, how ugly can I look? Like, what can I have put on that's unflattering, that shows my nipples and my hair looks like it's met like a wet dog. Like I haven't showered in a long time and it just looks really bad. And like, I'm trying to be different. So she did all that and picked ugly shoes and it was just terrible. And it doesn't mean I don't like Florence, but I just feel like she is a beautiful woman and she is picking the most unflattering things I've ever seen. Charlize Theron, everybody loves her. She's gorgeous. She's statuesque. She was wearing Dior. It was terrible. I couldn't stand the dress. Couldn't stand the way it looked on her. The jewelry was bad with it. The hair was bad. It was all bad. My least favorite, I cannot believe, never in my wildest dreams did I think this would be on worst dressed. Emily Blunt in Schiaparelli. She was wearing this like white dress. It had this weird like diamante design in the front near her genitals that looked bizarre. And then she had a floating shoulder, which is apparently a look. I put that in air quotes. You guys can't see that. Apparently that's a look right now. But she and Florence Pugh both had these floating shoulders. I don't care if it's like a fashion thing they're trying. It just was distracting. Everybody kept going like, should she pull her dress down? Like, does she need to straighten the dress out? Like, why do her shoulders look like that? It was just distracting. It wasn't a look. I hated it. I didn't like her hair. Terrible. I am shocked. Emily, I'd like to publicly apologize to you. I love you so much, but you are my worst dress pick for the Oscars. Terrible.
I'm going to add one more.
Go
to worst dressed.
Please.
Ariana Grande. I don't know what she was wearing. But she looked like she had a bed sheet on. So
some people really liked it. I did not like it.
I didn't look good.
I also don't like her with bleach blonde hair. I know that's for Glenda.
Yeah.
Glenda.
And she's much like a, she's so like a small figured and skinny that I'm like, I just thought it was odd that she had this big, like poofy thing. I don't know. It wasn't even like poofy in the back. It was like poofy in the front, but like near her hips. It was very odd.
Party in the front, business in the back.
Yeah, I don't think it was very flattering for her personally. So I saw her on the red carpet and I was like, whoa, that was a lot, girl.
Yeah, it was a lot. And we get it. You're doing pink because you're like the good witch, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, you're anyway, not everything has to promote Wicked, okay?
We get it. Wicked's coming. Okay, I'll go through these fast for my best dressed. I will say Emma Stone and Louis Vuitton looked beautiful. I don't love the mint green as much on fair-skinned girls like myself or her. It's not terrible, but her hair was gorgeous. Her makeup was flawless and her jewelry. So all of it together was just beautiful. Greta Gerwig and Gucci, I wanted to point her out because I feel like Greta unfortunately has very bad fashion taste, if you will. She looked probably the most beautiful I've ever seen her. And she was in a gold Gucci dress. Zendaya can do no wrong. She slays in every situation, all day, every day. She was wearing Armani Privé. It was like a pink, silvery dress. Loved it. And then let's see what else. Oh, Lupita Nyong'o. She was wearing Armani Privé as well. It was like a blue. It was almost like a periwinkle silver dress. She looked stunning.
Yeah, hers and was then, one of my favorites. They were interviewing her on the red carpet, and I was like, that just like really fit like the color, like you said. She had like glitter, sparkle stuff going on in her hair and shoulders. I mean, she just looked like a movie star. So
totally agree. And then another one, I'm very happy to put her on my list. Jennifer Lawrence. She was wearing Dior. She was actually wearing a polka dot dress, and it was very like old Hollywood. She looked gorgeous. She was probably my top three, which is insane. She wasn't even nominated for anything.
Yeah. And then you also had Coleman Domingo on here for guys.
Yes,
Louis Vuitton.
He was He was actually the only man that stood out to me. Colvin Domingo was wearing Louis Vuitton. It was, I don't even know how to describe it, but he was like, when I went insane for Michael B. Jordan, I think it was last year, where everything, he had some jewelry, he had shoes, everything was just flawless. It fit him so beautifully. There's few things better than a suit that is just cut perfectly for a man. It was gorgeous. Lily
also
Glad's,
liked,
oh yeah.
Oh, sorry. I was going to say, I liked how a lot of the men were wearing brooches too.
Yes, that was
cool.
Cool.
Like fashion trend.
I also
and,
love that because
I thought,
yes.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Oh, I was just saying, I liked that. And then another guy that I thought was dressed well, I thought Gosling's suit that he had on for I'm Just Ken.
Yes.
The pink bedazzled Barbie suit was
pretty good. I almost put Ryan Gosling on my best dress because he did look really good, both in his black suit that had some like rhinestone situation on it. It looked beautiful. It was beautifully cut, beautifully tailored. And I loved his I'm Just Ken. So we can put him on there too. And then my second to last person is Lily Gladstone. Lily Gladstone, both her Oscar look and her Vanity Fair party look were both stunning. But the Oscar one, I feel like it didn't photograph as beautifully as it could have. Well, really, I thought it didn't look as good on camera. I should say that. It photographed beautifully. It was like this navy blue, bright blue. It was stunning. It was Gucci and an indigenous designer, Joe Big Mountain, that designed it. So hers was very like relevant to the film that she was promoting and to her heritage. And I thought that was beautiful how she tied that in. It was stunning. But my favorite, without question, I didn't even have to think about this for 2 seconds, Carrie Mulligan. She was in Balenciaga, extremely problematic designer. Would not promote Balenciaga at any point, but it was really cool. It was a vintage design from 1951 that they like remade for her. I do think it looked like it was hard to walk in. I don't know that it was the most realistic choice, but honestly, if you look as gorgeous as Carrie Mulligan and you just had your third kid and you look like that, you wear that dress, girl. She looked stunning. I can't wait to post pictures for you all. Without question, best dressed, hands down, knocked it out of the park.
Very nice. So another one I had on my worst dress list was Andrea Riseborough. I don't know if you saw her outfit. I don't know what she was wearing. I think she was wearing the carpet.
I didn't.
Basically.
Ew. I'll look it up.
Yeah, look it up real quick. They showed her on the red carpet real quick, and I was like, that doesn't look that good. And then Dwayne The Rock Johnson, I saw him on some worst dress list, but I thought his suit was kind of cool. Different take. So Katie's looking at Andrea Riseborough right now. Could tell by the facial reaction. So what are your initial thoughts on that?
She's first of all wearing a tartan, which is bizarre. It's okay. It's not winter. I know it's not.
It's also Los Angeles.
It's not spring, but it's like, it's a balmy day in Los Angeles. And you're wearing a tartan that is like long sleeved, a full gown, not even a pretty one. And the pattern is abysmal. So what are you doing? Terrible.
Yeah. Did not think her outfit was great. So, okay, well, that's all of our thoughts on the Academy Awards. So stay tuned for what we're going to be talking about next. You can follow us at Podcast Silver on Twitter and Instagram. Search the Silver Screen Podcast on Facebook. And you can listen to the show on YouTube as well. Just search Podcast Silver. You'll find our channel. And next up, we don't really know yet. We've got some big things coming in the next couple of months. So we're going to try to get back into the swing of it, especially as the summer movie season ramps up. But for right now, we don't know exactly what's coming next. Probably Godzilla versus Kong because,
Jared, but everybody let us know if there are things you'd like us to cover. You know, Jared's getting married. I had a baby. We're doing the best we can, but we do still love the podcast. So if there's anything you want us to cover, try and give us some advance notice and we'll see if we can cover it for you. But thanks for sticking with us through our hiatus as well. Until next time, we'd like to thank the Academy.